Doesn't that warm your heart? There you have it, folks, our past and our present, heartwarming testimonies, amazing stories. It's all God. It's all God. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, Pastor Frank was supposed to be the one to give the message this morning, but he can't be with us today, and as executive pastor, I was next in line. But I said to myself, instead of me giving the message this morning, why not the rest of the preaching team give the message? So you're going to have the opportunity to hear all three of us pastors who are here, Pastor Graham, Pastor David, and myself, give the message for this morning. Pastor Graham has been in charge of our seniors ministry and pastoral care ministry. And Pastor David has been in charge of our youth ministry, which involves the junior high and high school ministry. And so we're here. Woodbridge, the ministry here in Woodbridge does not revolve around any one person, but around the Holy Spirit working through a team of people who love Jesus and put Him first. So let's welcome Pastor Graham.
Good. Well, thank you so much and welcome all. It's wonderful that you're here to celebrate with us this great occasion in the ministry of Woodbridge Community Church. Brother Frank, send a special message to you today. We miss you here, but we know that you're very much part of our service and we are praying for you. So here we are celebrating 50 years of God's faithful ministry in this church in Irvine. 50 years. And we do praise God, and that's what our service has been all about. Thanking God for His faithfulness to us, as we have seen over these past 50 years. But of course, you will realize that we stand on the shoulders of the saints that have gone before. Those that we have heard about, those that you will see on our timeline, those folk who were here before us and who stood firm. One of those dear saints, Marie Davis, went to be with the Lord last night, age of 95. I was with her and her daughter at the hospital. She is now in glory and has heard those words, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." Marie was here for many, many years and was on my first committee when I came here to run the seniors group, and I really thank God for her ministry and her love, and we mourn with her family at this time. My prayer for Woodbridge Community Church is that we will continue to be true, firstly to the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God, the Bible. This is our book. This is the book by which we live by and believe in. We preach from this book, and I pray that as God spares us in the future, that will continue as well. I pray too that we will continue to preach that saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for our sin, who rose again gloriously, who ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and will come back again one day. Pray that that message will continue to be preached from this pulpit, that people will come to know and follow Jesus as they have done in the past. I pray too that we may faithfully pass on the baton of our faith to the upcoming generation. We need to ensure that the teenagers of today will still be standing firm and strong in their faith in the next 50 years. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Lord willing, Lord Jesus tarrying, in 50 years' time there are people who will testify, as we heard today, about the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives through here at Woodbridge Community Church. I want to quote that lovely song. I'm quoting it. I'm not going to sing it. From Steve Green. You'll know it, I'm sure. We pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. God has been faithful to us these last 50 years. We need to carry that torch and pass it on to that future generation, that they may too walk in that light. And closing with scripture, Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Deo gloria. To God be the glory. Amen.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I'm one of the pastors here. I'm going to do something, and we're going to do an exercise together. Everyone looks startled and uncomfortable. Good. Go ahead and stand up, please. God inhabits the praises of his people. What we're going to do, or I guess what I'm telling you to do, is we're going to thank God for whatever you feel thankful for about this church. It could be the friendships you have. It could be the healing you received in some way. It could be the words spoken to you by some person. And what I'd like is this room to echo with thanksgiving to God, that your neighbor next to you will be able to hear your voice, that he won't whisper. But also, this isn't an opportunity to slander your neighbor too. Oh, thank you, God, that you gave me patience with this person over here. Thank you, God, that you didn't make me, that I'm not as as sinful as this guy over here. I think Jesus had a parable about that one. So let's take some time right now, collectively as a church body, to voice our thanksgiving to God. Okay? That was pretty good. You guys can be seated. God is constantly telling his people throughout Scripture to remember the works of the Lord, to remember what God's done. God's done so many gracious things for mankind, and he shows that very personally and specifically to us, doesn't he? In each one of our lives, we have our own story of God's goodness. We can testify to God's grace. Last week, there were a few things that I was wrestling through, and I really felt just sense of a calm as I was reading this Psalm 95. And if it helps, you can even close your eyes as I read some of the Psalm, but I found it to be just so encouraging, and I hope it is as encouraging to you as it was me. Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout triumphantly to him in song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. The depths of the earth are in his hand. The mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. So many of us have gone through so many things, and for those of you who have been around even as long as this church, you know, there are so many twists and turns and ups and downs of life, but isn't it so reassuring that we have a God who's constant? When everything else seems to fall out of place, and, you know, we have a God who is completely stable and rock solid, and we have someone who's faithful and will always be there for us. Isn't that such a reassuring thing? See, this anniversary is more than just congratulations, you made it after 50 years. Hopefully that's not merely what married couples do when they celebrate an anniversary is, oh, we made it, thank God. Or when you celebrate a child's birthday, it's not just, oh, it's just a number. It's more than just a number. It represents something much deeper. It represents actually something very deep about who God is. It represents the nature of God. It represents the heart of God. It represents the will of God. And it also represents what Jesus said long ago, which is not even the gates of hell can prevail against the church. And we are part of that story. We are part of the story of the Bible as it lays out throughout history. And this is what God's done. This is all God. And we give him praise. So for each one of us today, as we kind of did that little exercise of thanking God, let's continue to have that heart of gratitude as we go about our day and are celebrating and eating in and out and talking with people and reflecting on good memories. This is a time to thank God and actively, willfully remember his goodness, because sometimes we can forget that. Sometimes we can focus on things that are debilitating towards us. But also, the past is something to thank God for, but we also trust in God for the future too. We trust in God in the same way that he's been faithful. We trust in that same God to carry us in the future. We press everything. We invest everything. We lean on everything, not based on a building or money or talent, anything like that, but we rest completely on the competence of who God is and the heart of God and his love for us. And so I just encourage all of us today to have that mindset of thanksgiving to God, to rejoice in God always. Again, I say it, rejoice. And thank you guys so much for being a part of this day with us.
Well, how time flies. I remember when I joined the staff of the Daughter Church. That was 28 years ago, and I was 34 years old. Josh, the one who was leading worship today, was 7 years old. And he was just like this big. And look at him now. He's taller than me and better looking and sings so much better than me. But God has truly been faithful. So faithful. So very faithful. Well, we are here celebrating our 50th anniversary. That represents 50 years of God's faithfulness to us. And I want to give us three reasons why we celebrate. Why do we celebrate? We celebrate because it reminds us that all good things come from God. In Deuteronomy 16:1, God taught the Israelites to celebrate how he delivered them from bondage in Egypt. It says, observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. And also in Deuteronomy 16:13, God taught the Israelites to celebrate the yearly harvest. It says, you shall celebrate the Feast of Booths 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor and your wine vats. And then in Nehemiah 12:27, when the walls of Jerusalem were finished, God again taught his people to celebrate. Nehemiah 12:27 says, now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals. Celebration is God's idea. God loves to party. But in the right way, it has to be about him and not about us. So here's what I'm asking you to do. You see this insert in your bulletin? Here's what I'm asking you to do. Write a testimony of how Woodbridge Community Church has been a blessing to you. And write on this 50th anniversary note and then paste it on our timeline right there in the courtyard. There's a tape there and you can paste it there and put it just about where you approximately came into Woodbridge Church. And just want you to give glory to God through this piece of paper that you're going to share the testimony of God's goodness to us. Let's offer up a celebration testimony offering to God and thanking him for his goodness to us by putting it down in paper. And you can do it while you're lining up for burgers, you know. There you go. Why celebrate? Number two, because everybody's inspiration bucket leaks. We all get discouraged at times. We all have bad days or months or even years. So what do you do when those dark times come? You remember. Remember where you came from. Remember what God has done for you and see how far you've gone. And it's all because of God's goodness to you that you're here where you are today. Celebrate your blessings from the Lord. As the Sunday school song goes, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Try it. It works. I remember one time, one of my mentors told me, during a time when I was so discouraged and I wanted to give up being a pastor, he said to me, you know, God will not bring you this far only to drop you. God doesn't do that. He's very purposeful. He has a plan for you. And my mentor was right. I started remembering all the good things God has done for me, counting my blessings one by one. celebrating all that God has given me and my family in the past, and I began to believe again, and here I am today. Are you discouraged today? Are you discouraged? Are the circumstances of life getting you down? Start celebrating God's goodness to you in the past. Count your many blessings, and don't stop until your heart is lifted up. Third reason why we celebrate is because celebrations remind us of who we are and what we are about. In our walls are the two verses, one from Genesis and the other from Revelation, the bookends of the Bible, the beginning and the end. And both these verses point to a time when all the nations of the earth will be blessed. People from all tribe and tongue and nations will be blessed because of the Messiah, telling us that God's plan all along was to save all people, both Jews and Gentiles, together. And that's why it's a blessing for us to have our Messianic Jewish brothers here from Shuva Israel in our church campus, worshiping the Lord together with us. They are our partners in ministry, reaching this community for Jesus Christ. That is also why our vision has always been to have a multicultural, multi-ethnic church community where everyone is welcome, no matter who you are or where you're from. I remember when I was pastoring the Filipino church plant, and we would invite people who are not Filipinos and say, "Oh, come to visit us in our church." And they would say, "Well, what's the name of your church?" "Well, Filipino-American Church of Irvine." And they say, "But I'm not Filipino." So now we invite people and say, "Come to our church. What's the name of your church?" "Word Rich Community Church." "Oh, okay, we'll come." And it was born out of that vision to see people worshiping together. You know why? Because we believe this is what heaven will look like when we get there. People from all nations and tongues and tribes worshiping the Lord together. Together. We are better together. You know, this means a lot to me because I'm an immigrant. I left my home, my country, my family in the Philippines, where I came from. But Woodbridge Community Church has given me a new home. It has become my family here in the United States. It has become my community. I raised my kids in Awana. Their best friends are from their Sunday school class. They grew up singing in the children's musical. And now that my kids are grown, they are serving in the church. And their children, my grandchildren, are now in Sunday school, are now in the children's musical. And their best friends are here in church as well. What a tradition, a legacy of faith that you pass on from generation to generation. I may not be here for the next 50 years, but I'm hoping and praying they will be. They will continue on this legacy that Woodbridge is all about. Amen. 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 And so as we come together from all parts of the world in one church, we can be able to accomplish great things for God. One of the things that's truly notable is our outreach, not just to the community, but to the rest of the world. Our missions program alone supports over 30 missionaries and mission agencies and reaches to other parts of the world, even in restricted countries where it's forbidden to preach the gospel. Every week, we feed over 800 children in the Philippines in an underprivileged community called Payatas. We also have a student sponsorship program called I-320, where we sponsor disadvantaged children and provide them with quality education so they can break free from the cycle of poverty. And these are some of our graduates. Every year, pre-pandemic of course, we send mission teams to the Philippines to do medical missions and other community projects. And we also do service projects, mission projects to Mexico twice a year. You know, you may know some of those people up there. Come Christmas, we support Operation Christmas Child, where we raise over 1,000 boxes full of Christmas gifts for children all over the world, blessing them with the love of Christ. These we do, and many, many other things. Time would not permit me to say them all. But this is how we celebrate God's goodness to us, by sharing God's love to others. We pay it back. It's a story of lives that have been touched and changed by Jesus Christ. It's a story that is unfolding and continues to be told. Would you help us continue to tell the story and continue the legacy of Woodbridge Community Church? The story is told of Sir Christopher Wren, the architect of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, that he made a surprise visit to the worksite. And he saw three stone cutters. And he talked to one stone cutter and he asked, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I'm cutting stones." And then he talked to another stone cutter and said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm making a living." And then he talked to a third stone cutter, and the stone cutter looked at him in the eye and said, "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren build the greatest cathedral to the glory of God." And in a way, that's what we're doing here in Woodbridge Community Church. We're not just running programs. We're not just feeding people. We're not just singing songs. We're helping build a great and amazing kingdom of all nations, tribes, peoples, welcoming them, bringing them in, helping them meet, know, and follow Jesus. So my challenge to you is, come, help us build. Help us build. We have a lot of space for so many people, so many more people here. And in a way, this may be our 50th anniversary, but in a way, we're only just beginning a new chapter in our lives as a church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the blessings that you've given to us here at Woodbridge Church. Lives that have been changed, hearts that have been opened, marriages that have been healed, souls that have been saved. So many blessings, O Lord. Time would not permit us to say them all. But we want to thank you because it's all you. It's all because of you. Despite our human frailties and shortcomings, you chose to use us. Thank you. What a privilege to serve you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, yes, in a way we've only just begun. And greater things are yet to come. We believe that. Because you are a great and amazing God, and you are with us. You've shown us your faithfulness in the past, and we trust in you to continue to show us your goodness as we venture into the future. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, church, as we just continue to respond, just in worship, let's enter into a time. Would you stand as we sing and just reflect back? And let's, as we sing this song, may we just respond to that challenge. What's God inviting you into today? What part does He have for you to play in this next 50 years?